I'm in this series called There's a Grace for Big Battles. Not every battle's a big battle, but there are some big battles that we have to fight. And, you know, the one thing we have to do is just trust God. And remember, I don't know, about 6 weeks ago, and I challenged y'all, what's one thing, just one thing, little, medium, or big, that you'd like to see changed in your life? Just one thing. Just one thing. And I preached about there's a grace for that one thing. And I've gotten testimonies. People said, I got my one thing. I got my one thing yesterday. I've been waiting a month. You would think that's a long time. But so I got another question today. In what situation or season do we need the sun and the moon to stand still? In what situation or season of our life do we need to see the sun and the moon to stand still for us? Why? In order to gain the victory. We're going to read 14 verses out of Joshua chapter 10. Great story. Now it came to pass, and forgive me for my English on some of these names, and I think it's important for us to go through it. Now it came to pass when Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and its king. Okay, so there's two victories right there, right? The battle of Ai and the battle of Jericho. Okay, how many battles have you won? Well, then remind the Lord and remind the devil that God's on our side, and I've won some battles. Hallelujah. And destroyed it, as he'd done to Jericho and the king. So he had done to Ai and its king, and how inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel. Now that looks like a good thing, but it's not, because Gibeon was in their way of occupying the promised land. And how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them, because they were scared. Verse 2, and they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, like one of the royal cities, because it was greater than Ai, and all its men were mighty. Therefore, Adonai Zedek, king of Jerusalem, Salem, sent to Hoham, king of Hebron, Piram, king of Jarmuth, Japhia, king of Lachish, and Debir, king of Elgon, saying, come up to me and help me, that we may attack Gibeon, for it has made peace with Joshua and with the children of Israel. So the king of Israel was pulling in all the reinforcements here. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, and the king of Elgon, gathered together and went up, and they and their armies, and camped before Gibeon, and made war against it, because Gibeon was in the way of the Israelites occupying the promised land. And the men of Gibeon sent to Joshua at the camp of Gilgal and said, don't forsake your servants. Come up to us quickly. Save us. Help us. For all the kings of the Amorites who dwell in the mountains have gathered together against us. Verse 7. So Joshua ascended to Gilgal, and he and all the people of war with him, and all the mighty men of valor. Verse 8. And the Lord said to Joshua, do not fear them, for I have delivered them into your hands. Do not fear whatever comes at you. Not a man of them shall stand before you. That means he's going to kill them all. Joshua, therefore, came upon them suddenly, having marched all night from Gilgal. So the Lord routed them before Israel, killed them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, chased them along the road that goes to Beth Horon, and struck them down as far as Azek and Makeda. And it happened, as they fled before Israel, and were on the descent to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down a large hailstone from heaven, large hailstones from heaven, and on them as far as Azek. And you know, I was trying to figure out this morning, what speed do hailstones fall? Okay, so we got pitchers. If you can pitch a baseball 95 miles an hour, you got $1 million in your pocket. But I think those hailstones are going a little faster. I was going to look that up. But just think of how fast they're falling. 9.8 Yeah, well, this one will fall just as fast as this one, technically. That'll mess with your mind physics-wise. But either way, they fall fast. All right, the bigger ones fall faster. I'll go with you for a minute. There are more who died from the hailstones than the children of Israel killed with the sword. That's a wow. Then Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel, and he said in the sight of Israel, "Son," now let's go back. What's it say right there? Come on. He said, this church is very poignant on the fact of the power of words. And he said in the sight of Israel, "Sun, stand still over Gibeon, and moon in the valley of Ajon." We talk about the sun standing still, we forget. The moon stood still too. And that implies the universe, in my opinion, my humble opinion, stopped. Everything stopped moving in the valley of Ajalon. So the sun stood still. So you prophesy into your need, you prophesy into your want, you prophesy into what needs to change, and it happens. And the sun stood still, and the moon stopped, till the people had revenge upon their enemies. Is this not written in the book of Yasher? So the sun stood still, and it says that three times, the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and did not hasten to go down for about a whole day. And there has never been no day like that before it or after it that the Lord heeded the voice of a man. That smokes me. God heeded a voice of man. Why? Because that man spoke the will of the Lord out loud. For he said, he didn't think it, he didn't write it down, he spoke it out loud. Now this is amazing. That the Lord heeded the voice of a man, for the Lord fought for Israel. I got chills running up down my spine here. So some things to glean out of this story is that sometimes, or a time, we need the sun to stand still in our life. We need the circumstances to stop and give God the opportunity to fight the battle for us. Now, in the natural, the Gibeonites were a bigger enemy than all the other enemies that they had fought. Look at verse 2. And they feared greatly, the Israelites, because Gibeon was a great city. Some of us have great battles, great mountains, great things that happen or may happen. Great things. So we know that Gibeon was a great enemy. And in verse 5, when we have great enemies, what do? We cry out to God for help. We cry out to God for help. So what did they do? Look at all these kings came alongside of them. You call up everybody in the church and say, "I need a little help. A little help now." Call them up. Text them all. I think that's good. I need some help. I need some serious help here. It's okay to cry out to your faith buddies, whoever your sphere of influence is, and it's okay to cry out to them and say, "Hey, I got an emergency here," or whatever. Right? Preaching to the choir here. And then, not only did Joshua acknowledge the size of the enemy and that he needed help, he wanted to get a promise from God. Verse 8. And the Lord said to Joshua, "Do not fear, for I will deliver them into your hand, and not a man of them shall be stand before you. I'm going to wipe them all out. That's God's promise to you and 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 you. He wants to wipe out all your enemies. He wants to wipe out all your pain. And he wants to take you into your promised land. That's a prophecy to hang on to, church. The battle. Verse 11. The stones. Large hailstones from heaven. I don't know if this is for some time in the future for us, but God can cast down those proverbial stones to break the back of our enemy. And then Joshua prophesied in verses 12 through 14. I got to read through these verses again. Joshua spoke to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, sun, stand still over Gibeon and the moon over the valley of Ajon. Verse 13. And it stood still. Verse 14. The whole day. And there's not been another day like that since. It's amazing. But just because there's not been another day like that since doesn't mean we can't glean the spiritual impact from this story in our circumstances in our life or what's going to come up in our life. So the take home today is the power of faith through your words. It's right in your outline there. The power of faith through our words. And that I'm just preaching to the choir here now. Nothing is impossible with God. Now, there are Christian science people that will say they can go back and prove this day was held. AI won't tell you that, artificial intelligence, because I checked it. What did artificial intelligence say? Nothing. I have a strong disdain. Well, I could tell you some stories, but I'll refrain from that. We need to trust in God, not AI. The power of faith through our words. Nothing is impossible with God. Trusting that God is for us and not against us. He's like the big dog that shows up in the fight. He's like the big dog, and he barks, and everybody else cowers down. You ever seen a dog fight, right? And he fights for us. And he gives us faith for the impossible. We've all probably been through some impossible things. We might be in the middle of an impossible thing. Or we've got an impossible thing coming up. Okay? That's it. So, what I want to do is build your faith. Is make sure that you're ready for that battle and that you battle that battle with the faith that Joshua used. Son, stand still. And I want you to take this line home with you, verse 0.5, chapter 10, verse 42. And the kings and their And all these kings and their land Joshua took at one time because the Lord God of Israel fought for Israel. Victory belongs to those who want it the most. I repeat that phrase practically over and over and over and over. How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? And what are you willing to do to keep that bad good? Play on words, right? What are you willing to do to keep that level of faith up? Victory belongs to those who want it the most. And we're going in, we're in the middle of, we're coming out of a battle with the Gibeons. The Gibeons were bigger than the biggest. That was the biggest battle they fought. And yet God brought them a victory. Son, stand still. You know, we had about 4 months I don't know if I mentioned this a few weeks ago, but we had about 4 months where there was this attack against us right in our face. And it was like, I don't get this. You know, I'm believing God. And it was oppressive. And it was deeply frustrating. Right? You have that sometimes? Where it's really deep and it's really painful and you think, it's like, I'm facing hell. Thank you for the laugh, Mary. And then the verse came to me. Isn't it great when you're in the middle of something and you get a verse? And he said, this kind does not come out, or this kind does not go away except for prayer and... So guess what we did? Started fasting. And guess what's happened? The battle's gone. What could have happened again in the same way, I can't share the situation, but there was a potential situation just like one where it was awful. And another one just not too long after that, but we'd already started praying and fasting, and guess what? Went right past it. No problem. Victory is ours. So if you come up against a wall, you go, I've prayed about this. I've even spoke to this. And you think, this should be better. Right? Prayer and fasting. And it doesn't take a lot of fasting. Just do what God asks you to do. Some people can go 7 days straight without Pastor Shane. You know Pastor Shane? He fasted for 40 days. I said about killed him, but I was humbled by that. Never forgotten that. You know, and it doesn't sometimes take a lot. Just God wants us to do whatever he tells us to do. So God, tell me how much. So do this. Okay, I can do that. And the sun stood still. And God's given us the victory. So either you're in the middle of that or it's going to be coming up. Or there's some other ones in the past, but we prophesy, son, stand still. Let's stand. Lord, I pray that each one of us, Lord, I tried to articulate this the way you wanted it done. Lord, I just pray that, God, we would glean from this message what we need in our life to apply in our life, Lord. Lord, wherever that battle is that you want us to win. You know, God wants us to win. God really wants us to win. I mean, he really, 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 really wants us to win. He really, 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 above all other things, wants his kids to win. So let's win. And let's do what it takes to win. And give him the glory for it in Jesus' name. And everybody shouted amen. God bless you. Have a great week.